You are listening to The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast with Pat James.
Welcome, everybody, to The Riding DFS and Betting Podcast. It's Arnold Palmer Week. Bay Hill Club and Lodge, Arnie's Tournament, always a good one. A very, very difficult track. Not normally the field like we're going to see this week. It is one of the PGA Tour's new elevated events, $20 million purse. All the big dogs are there for the most part. So some of the historical stuff kind of gets thrown out the window. I think maybe we'll see a little bit better, a little bit lower of a winning score, thanks to the fact that all the best players in the world are here. It still is a very difficult course. I would guess maybe around 11, 12 under wins it, unless someone like, you know, John Rahm or Rory goes absolutely bonkers and runs away with it at like 15, 18 under. I can't see that happening. It is, you know, there's a good amount of trouble, difficult greens to hit. So I'm looking at a lot of stats filtered by difficulty. Man, last week, though, only took a few outrights, kept it short, kept it sweet. Hayden Buckley did what we thought he was going to do. He was third in greens in regulation, seventh in hitting the fairway. I have no clue how he ejected on Friday and didn't make the cut. You're telling me he hit the third most greens on Thursday and Friday and missed the cut by 5 strokes. I don't even want to go back and see what happened. He probably 3-putted a bunch. When he did miss the green, he probably flubbed a chip or something here and there. That was absolutely mind-boggling to me. Overall, not a great week in DK or betting. So we're just going to move on. First week this year that I would say I really got ran out of town. Didn't return much in terms of units whatsoever. So let's take a look at the modeling for the Arnold Palmer. A lot of 200 plus iron shots here, right? Most of the par threes are more than 200 yards. There are some long par fours that are going to be 200 plus, potentially 200 plus. See, the thing is, you're not always going to be able to just rip driver here. So they may be hitting to some approach shots that are 200 plus more often than not than you would see on a course that has some of the specs that this course does. I did put strokes game par 5 in. Anytime it's a par 72 and you're going to have 4 cracks at a par 5, we want guys that can score, especially when scoring is going to be somewhat muted. You know, if you can get around on your 16 chances throughout 4 days on your par 5s, that could be where you win it, right? Guys that win here also show really good long par 3 ability. So that's in the model as well. Good drives because there is trouble lurking. There's lots of water. We want guys that are going to be at least in the fairway or in the first cut. Difficult opportunities gained. So we want guys sticking it close when others aren't, right? On difficult to gain greens, fast and lightning Bermuda putting. We put some course form, we put some current form in there as well. We weighted it all based on most recent rounds getting the most weight, all the way back to 50 rounds getting the least amount of weight. And here's what we have to show for it. So obviously John Rahm rates out really well. If I am going to, in this top range, we'll cut it off at, I guess we'll cut it off at Victor Hovland, right? We'll go that whole top range from Rahm, who's the most expensive, all the way down to Victor Hovland, who is 9K. Obviously, all those guys are excellent golfers, top golfers in the field. My favorite is probably Xander Schauffele at his price of 9,200. He ends up coming in the model at second overall, rates out swimmingly across all rounds, no matter what way you slice it. He's fourth in the difficult opportunities gained. I just think that the ownership throughout that top range is going to be fairly flat, right? There's so many big dogs: Rahm, Scheffler, Rory, Homa, Thomas, Morikawa, Zalatoris, Finau, Schauffele, Cantlay, Hovland, Im, Fitzpatrick, Young, Spieth. Like, all the way down to 8,600, it's pretty stacked. So I think you just pick who you like up here, and you run with it. So Scheffler would be my favorite. Obviously, Rahm too. I think there's always merit in not playing Rahm, as crazy as that sounds, because he's always expensive, usually by like 800 or 900 more than the next closest person. If he's in your lineup, you probably need him to win. Like, he can't come fourth or fifth. Baseboard heat kicking on here. Sorry, down in the basement. If you can hear that clicking, that is what that is. My apologies. So if you play Rahm, you kind of need him to win, which is, you know, likely. He's done it three times in the last five or six outings. But if he comes fourth, fifth, sixth, and someone like, you know, Rory wins, or someone like Morikawa wins, or someone like Schauffele wins, you're probably not going to have Rahm in that winning lineup. So I do like to fade him a little bit. I like to play a good portion of my lineups without John Rahm. Third, obviously Scottie Scheffler likes it here. He won here last year, right? He's second in difficult opportunities gained. He's second in form. He's fifth in course form. His actual course fit, like in terms of all those 200-plus approaches, the good drives, the par five, the current approach, the off-the-tee stuff, doesn't necessarily fit here perfectly, but sometimes that just doesn't matter. The next guy I like is Morikawa at 9,500. You're telling me we're on a course where you need accuracy off the tee, accuracy on your second shot, which it's difficult to hit these greens, and it's not going to be a course where he has to make every birdie putt, because the final score, the winning score, is going to be like 10, 12 under. I like Morikawa in that instance. Awful putter. We've seen that he's kind of putting a little bit better, though. Three of his last four tournaments, he's gained strokes putting. Like, he just, at the Genesis, he actually didn't hit his irons well, and he chipped and putted amazingly, which kept him in it. He has a second, a third, and a sixth in three of his last four starts. I think people are overlooking him. I think there's like a narrative that he just can't putt well enough to win. This tournament could be the one that breaks that. Not that he's going to putt the lights out, but on a tough course like this, you don't necessarily need to. Like, everybody's not going to be hitting the green and having like 20 footers for birdie. So the fact that he's gaining greens and maybe making some birdies, but two putting for par, is so much better than guys that are going to be missing the green and having like 12 footers for par. So I like Morikawa in that instance. Also, I mean, obviously Will Zalatoris, he rates out overall. He's seventh in the model. Good off the tee, good on approach, really good par five score. His 200 plus iron shots have been wonky over the last 24 rounds or so, but I think that's, you know, I think he's going to be okay in that instance. He obviously showed up and played well at the Genesis. So I'm okay with him. Guys that I don't think I will have, I like Homa too. It's tough. Like, if I had to pick guys that I'm just not interested in this range, it's going to be Finau, Cantlay, JT, and Rahm. My favorites, Morikawa, Xander, Zalatoris, Homa, Rory, Scheffler in that order. I mean, if you're playing 100 lineups or whatever, you can have a smattering of the five or six or seven guys that you like. If you're playing three lineups, you're probably going to have to pick, like, just four or five of those guys and, you know, work them through. Under 9K. We'll just work in the 8K range for right now. Jason Day is playing really well at this given moment. He gets dinged in the model just a tad because when you sort by difficult courses, he actually drops. But everything else, I mean, his 200-plus approach shots, his drives have been great. His off-the-tee game, obviously that goes with good drives, but his off-the-tee game has been good. He's top 20 in approach. He has good course history here at Bay Hill. So I like Jason Day. Matt Fitzpatrick. So it's a difficult course. It's going to be windy. Even though Fitzpatrick hasn't played great as of late, I think he's my, like, favorite low-owned guy in that range. Hideki, I bet Hideki at 66. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world, despite the fact he's not playing great right now. You can't hang a 66-70 on Hideki and expect people not to bet it. So I bet Hideki there. People are on Sam Burns. I'm going to say no thanks. He has not been, like, course fit-wise, his 200-plus irons have been bad. He's been bleeding strokes off the tee. I know he kind of made a charge at Phoenix and finished high, but just hasn't looked spectacular. I do like Keith Mitchell. He is a really good par 5 scorer. He is really good off the tee. And in general, Keith Mitchell is usually a good difficult slash wind player. There's going to be a ton of wind on Friday. I don't think there's really no way to avoid the wind on Friday, if we're being honest. It looks like it's going to be all day long, outside of, like, very, very early. So when the tee times come out, they aren't out yet as I'm recording this. If you could find someone that's going off late Thursday and is one of the first people out on Friday, they may have a slight advantage, but I don't know if I would pay too. It's not like I wouldn't put too much stock into it because it's not like from 8 to noon, it's going to be like dormant winds and then all of a sudden it's going to be a tornado. It looks pretty steady across the entire day. Cam Young is interesting because when you sort by difficult stats, he is the number one player in gaining opportunities on difficult greens. He also has a decently high finish here at the Arnie. He just hasn't been playing great. He is coming around, though. His course fit stats have peaked in the last 12 rounds. So I don't mind Cam Young in that range as well. The 7K range. There's some good dudes. There's some dogs in the 7K range. Obviously, Lowry, wind, difficult course. You like to hear that. He's a good par 5 scorer. He's pretty solid from 200 plus as well. He just had a really nice Honda. Speaking of which, this is unbelievable to me, actually. In the Pat Mayo one and done, this is how important getting wins are in the one and done. Here are my finishes in the last six or in the seven tournaments that have gone on. And I'm not in the money. I'm just outside the money. I was like in 20th after the Homa win, but I've gone down since then. Listen to these finishes. 12, 5, 1. That was Homa. Mav McNeely withdrew. Then 10, Xander. 6, Morikawa. 5, Shane Lowry last week at the Honda. I basically have six top 12s and a win with one withdraw, Mav McNeely, and I am not in the money. It's crazy. It just shows you how much wins are important, how important wins are in the one and done, because most of the people ahead of me have more than one win, even if they have like four miscuts the other times. Those two wins, especially at elevated events, are huge. Just a little soapbox thing there for you. So in this range, I really like Gary Woodland. Gary Woodland, believe it or not, is in the short-term course fit ranked first. Like, he is green-lighted across the board. Gary Woodland is playing outside of his mind. He's only 7,400. I mean, he's eighth off the tee, fifth in approach, seventh in the par three range, first in the 200 plus range, sixth in good drives, 19th in par five scoring. That is absolutely unbelievable. If you look at him in terms of the full model, that was just like the course fit model. If you look at him in terms of the whole deal, I mean, if you sort by difficulty, he does drop to opportunities gained at 30th, but that's still not crazy. He's 31st in course form. Like, he has no red flags outside of maybe, you know, if he really biffs around with the putter, it could be an issue. The other guy that's awesome in this range is Tom Hoagie. He's 10th overall in the model, third in difficult opportunities gained. He's inside the top 10 in every round range for the course fit. He hasn't been playing excellent, but I mean, he fits the course in terms of his skill set. He has played difficult courses well. He's played this course fairly well. I don't think I can ding him just because in his last couple tournaments, you know, like everybody was on him at Pebble. He finished 48th. He missed the cut in Phoenix. He came roaring back and finished 14th at the Genesis. I think one of my biggest bets this week is going to be some place bets on Hoagie. I think he's really going to do well this week. Top 20, top 40 type stuff. I might see what we can, maybe we could parlay Hoagie and Woodland together in a top 40 or a top 20, 40 type bet. I mean, those guys are in the 7K range. They're bombs to bet. And obviously, right, there's like 15 studs in this field at this elevated event, but those guys have it cooking right now. Some other guys, Wyndham Clark, he's a great par five scorer. He's great with long irons. He's gotten his shit together off the tee. You know, he could be erratic, but he hits the ball well. I like Wyndham Clark. Obviously, Chris Kirk has good form. Justin Rose knows the course very well. He's also a good par five scorer and does not get erratic off the tee. Corey Connors, I did bet at 80-1, not playing his best ball, but does the things that he normally does well, right? Like accurate off the tee, par five scoring, long irons, approach is what you need here, right? So if it's not like, you know, just because he hasn't been playing excellent over the last few rounds doesn't mean he can't turn that on. Look at Chris Kirk. He missed two cuts in the last month before winning last week. Let's dip a little bit. Let's see who we like. Man, this low range is rough. Let's see who rates out well. Because I don't really like no one really. I mean, I guess Ben Griffin. We like Bramlett's playing well. So Griffin is 6,700. He's solid from 200 plus. Alex Smalley always rates out well. He's not going to bleed strokes off the tee. He's a good par five scorer. Davis Riley is 15th in approach, eighth from 200 plus. Rates out well when you sort by difficult. I'm not sure if I said him, but Joseph Bramlett has been rating out well. He obviously tied for the first round lead last week before fading, but still solid. I mean, of course, Hayden Buckley is going to pop. He had a good statistical round outside of putting last week. Nick Hardy pops again. What do you know? He's got to start going backwards, though. He's not playing well. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Matthew Neesmith. I don't know how someone like Matthew Neesmith continues to play like ass, and he continues to rate out well statistically, which is wild. I guess my favorite in the 6K range is Will Gordon. He rates out well across the board. Higo, too. Yeah, Higo's been coming around. Davis Riley, Griffin, and Adam Svensson, too. Looks like he rates out well. But I would stay mostly in that 7K range. Because I'm going to kind of live in the 9K range for the studs, right? Like Morikawa, Schauffele, Zalatoris, Homa. I might, like, if I dabble with Rory or Scheffler or Rahm, then I'll probably have to dip into the sixes and take someone like Ben Griffin or you know, Adam Svensson or Gary Kiko or something like that. But for the most part, I like the 9 and 7K range. Big on Woodland and Hoagie this week, though. Those are the flag plants. Last week it was Satoshi Kodaira. I don't know what happened. He just went. He had a really nice Friday, ball striking wise, but he just had a too bad of a Thursday to overcome it. And that happens, right? He rates out well. He fit the course, but he just didn't play well. Happens every week. Win some, lose some. All right, guys. Good luck in your API bets and DraftKings contests. My full card will be out Wednesday morning. See ya.